Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 9th, 5:29 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are just a little bit lower this morning. May corn futures down one at 434.5. May soybeans down four at 1177.5. May Chicago wheat down 5.25 at 560.5. May Kansas City wheat down 4.5 at 580.75. May spring wheat down 3.5 at 646.75. Let's start off with this interest rate story, which I think is interesting.
So the CEO of JP Morgan Chase believes U.S. interest rates could soar to 8% or more. According to Jamie Dimon, there are several inflationary pressures that could send rates that high, including ongoing fiscal spending, global military conflict, shifting global trade, and higher energy costs. Dimon believes that the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the unrest in the Middle East could lead to the next world war. He also remains concerned about quantitative easing and its reversal. The market is pricing in a 70 to 80% chance of a soft landing for the U.S. economy. However, Dimon believes those chances are much lower.
Jamie Dimon is an evil bankster that everybody hates, but he's got a point here with some of this. So if you look at the Fed fund rate chart, he's talking 8%, which would bring you back to levels not seen since the 1980s. If it was late 80s, early 90s, I think, as it relates to Fed fund rates. So they had this shareholder letter out and it's super long. I pulled two paragraphs. This is kind of lengthy, but I'm going to read it to you guys because I think it's important and interesting. Here we go. In the 1970s and early 1980s, there was a general understanding that inflation was driven by guns and butter, meaning fiscal deficits and the increase to the money supply, both partially driven by the Vietnam War, led to increased inflation, which went over 10%. The deficits today are even larger and occurring in boom times, not as the result of recession. And they have been supported by quantitative easing, which was never done before the great financial crisis. Quantitative easing is a form of increasing the money supply, though it has many offsets. I remain more concerned about quantitative easing than most and its reversal, which has never been done before at this scale. Equity values by most measures are at the high end of the valuation range and credit spreads are extremely tight. These markets seem to be pricing in a 70 to 80% chance of a soft landing, modest growth with declining inflation and interest rates. I believe the odds are a lot lower than that. In the meantime, there seems to be an enormous focus, too much so, on the monthly inflation data and modest changes to interest rates, but the die may be cast. Interest rates looking out a year or two may be predetermined by all of the factors I mentioned above. Small changes in interest rates today may have less impact on inflation in the future than many people believe. So the stuff he said about some of the deficits in the good times and in the boom times is kind of scary, because what happens when the shit hits the fan again? What happens when we have another COVID or a bird flu or, you know, whatever the next thing is? What happens? They're probably gonna have to ease again. They're gonna have to print more money. They're gonna have to drop interest rates to zero again. We don't have recessions or depressions anymore. They just kind of print their way out of it or ease their way out of it. So it's pretty scary stuff. And I know as it relates to our crowd here, the ag crowd, the 1980s is a nightmare that nobody wants to live through again. And he's kind of saying, yeah, maybe there's a chance. I don't know. So this isn't good news, but it's interesting news.
U.S. corn planting is in its early stages. The crop was 3% planted nationally as of Sunday, compared to 2% on average and 2% the prior week. While several states have completed some planting, no progress has been reported in Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, or Nebraska. Many of these states will not be able to plant until later this week due to crop insurance. USDA did not issue a national soybean planting number. The winter wheat crop was rated 56%, good to excellent, unchanged on the week.
Of your major, major, major corn growing states, Illinois is the only one that's made any progress at 2% done. Some of the stuff to the east has been a little bit too wet, I think. Indiana, Ohio have nothing done. And then to the west, they're just waiting on crop insurance. It's been dry enough, I believe. Looking at the weather, the next 5 days, you've got this split between the east or southeast and then west, northwest. It's going to be wet to the east and dry to the west. But then the 5 to 10 day period kind of opens up. And this isn't great coverage that they're talking, but say the eastern half of the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa should see some rainfall. I don't know how substantial or how good the coverage is going to be. It looks kind of spotty on this map. But, you know, these forecasts are a fluid situation. So still kind of a wet east versus drier west trend here, I think, remains in place. What about winter wheat?
So as I just stated, it was rated 56% good to excellent nationally. That was unchanged versus the prior week and higher than the five-year average of 47%. The rating was in line with analysts' expectations and the best for this time of year since 2020. Only 12% of the crop is rated poor to very poor. The winter wheat crop is 6% headed nationally versus 4% last week and 5% on average. The U.S. spring wheat crop is 3% planted versus 1% last week and 3% on average.
Here's a quick snapshot of your winter wheat ratings. Second best seasonal ratings since 2020 if you go back 5 years. So it's strong. The drought situation as it relates to U.S. winter wheat country, pretty minimal. 18% is probably close to the bottom of the barrel in terms of what you're going to see with these drought numbers. You see that a lot of those HRW areas in Kansas in particular, like the western half of Kansas, not much drought out there. There is some in the central part of Kansas. So you've got good ratings. You've got no real story out of Russia, Ukraine, other than Russia is shipping a lot of cheap wheat. So the wheat market just does not have a story right now.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about the video you put together yesterday?
Everything you guys know about capturing, most of you, I think for a lot of you, everything that a lot of people know about capturing carry and the way that spreads work in new crop corn, a lot of the levels that maybe you'd used in the past, it's all changed. Changed last year, really. It probably started to change when CME increased the storage rates and the higher interest rates that followed. And last year, the spreads did things in corn that we've never seen before. So if you're a farmer and you're going to do, you know, HTAs and look to roll them and capture carry, this is a video that you've got to watch. I had a lot of people respond and say, Joe, I've never seen it presented in that way. And part of me thinks that maybe the larger ag industry doesn't want you to know how this works, or maybe it's just too boring of a topic to cover, but I covered it. We do some entertaining stuff. We do some policy stuff. This is what I call like hardcore grain marketing information. Is it the most exciting stuff in the world? No, but this is the sort of stuff that can actually like really add to your bottom line if you know how it works. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. Cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody tried to sell you anything else. Sign up this morning and I will send you over a copy of this morning's email, which includes the 6 most recent premium videos. Remember, if you guys are busy, if you're out working, signing up on your phone is actually a piece of cake. So check that deal out this morning.
Brazil's soybean harvest is progressing. According to well-followed private group AgRural, 78% of Brazil's soybean crop had been harvested as of last Thursday. At this time last year, 82% of the crop had been harvested. Excessive rains in parts of northern Brazil have hindered harvest, while favorable weather has aided harvest in the country's southern region. AgRural also reported that Brazil's second corn crop saw varying conditions last week that included heavy rains and above normal temperatures.
As it relates to soybean production in Brazil, weather is kind of a non-story now. The crop's 78% harvested. There will be another iteration of the USDA versus CONAB blood match later this week. Both entities should be out with reports and updated crop estimates. Looking at the weather, this is really kind of a deal with the second corn crop now. April and May are big months as it relates to weather for that second and larger corn crop, which is 75% of total production and is the big export crop. So this is the crop that's going to really compete with the United States for export business. The weather looks good. I mean, the next 5 days, next 10 days, plenty of rain in the forecast, no threat here whatsoever.
U.S. corn shipments declined last week. USDA reported that corn shipments during the week ending April 4th surpassed pre-report estimates at 56 million bushels, but they were down 3.5% from the previous week, but they were up 69% compared to the same week last year. Soybean shipments were poor at 18 million bushels, down 12% versus the prior week and down 29% compared to the same week last year. Wheat shipments came in at 18 million bushels, down 13% from the previous week, but up 28% versus the same week last year.
Brazil continues to export more and more corn and soybeans, and that's to the detriment of the United States. And what that means is that moving forward, as the years go by, you're going to see the U.S. export window get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So I think we're on pace to hit the USDA export target for corn. We're not on pace in soybeans. And if the window closes a little bit sooner than maybe it would have a year or two ago, then we may not hit the targets at all. So it's kind of a moving situation because of Brazil largely.
The CDC is requesting state and public health officials be prepared for an outbreak of avian flu. The request comes almost 2 weeks after a worker at a dairy farm in Texas became infected with the disease. The worker became infected through contact with either dairy cattle or wild birds who also tested positive for the virus. The worker was never hospitalized and is currently recovering. The announcement has caused the cattle markets to fall to lows not seen in 3 months. The CDC maintains that the bird flu poses little risk to the public. The FDA is not concerned about the quality of meat or pasteurized milk from the infected dairy cattle.
I saw a couple headlines yesterday that mentioned rapid testing. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to get bird flu rapid testing, but I don't know. Did they want this to be COVID part two? I don't think so. But rapid testing, get prepared for your bird flu rapid testing. What did cattle do yesterday? Speaking of bird flu,
They were mixed yesterday. Yeah. Feeders were an average of 40 cents lower, except for $1.60 higher in the April contract. Live cattle closed an average of 67 cents higher. Box beef had a heck of a day. Choice was $4.90 higher to close at $302.07, and select was $5.57 higher to end the day at $300.27.
Outside markets, U.S. dollars off a little bit. Stocks are off a little bit. Bonds up a little bit. Gold's up $26. Very, very strong. Crude oil's up 15 cents in the May WTI at $86.58. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.